We'd like to thank our friends at PwC for their support, partnership, and collaboration in making Retail Gets Real. Learn more about how PwC helps retailers at pwc.com.
I think the retail industry is a prime example of finding success in careers and growing in many ways and expanding your interests and growing into other industries from within retail. And I think that it's a really, really beautiful opportunity to open your eyes to the workforce. I think if there's an industry to get going in, retail is perfect for you.
You know, one way I've always kind of thought about it is it's kind of like an elevator to success. Like, there's not enough room for everybody on that path. And so, like, there are stairs, but people don't want to take the stairs because it requires more work.
Welcome to Retail Gets Real, where we hear from retail's most fascinating leaders about the industry that impacts everyone, everywhere, every day. I'm Bill Thorne, and on today's episode, we have some special guests. Not retail's most fascinating leaders, but potentially its next generation of talent. Our guests today are a few of NRF's summer interns, Juliana Sailing, Miguel Gomez, and Ashton Wiggins. Very soon, they're going to be returning back to school, but before they go, we wanted to take the opportunity to ask this generation about its views on entering the workforce and what they're looking for in an employer. So, without any further ado, Juliana, welcome.
Hello.
Ashton, welcome.
Hi.
Hello, Miguel.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm doing good, and you?
So, welcome to Retail Gets Real. It's been an interesting summer, without a doubt. I mean, you're doing something that you wouldn't normally have done, I would assume, any other summer, an internship for the nation's largest and oldest retail trade association. Thoughts? Has it been fun? Has it been good? Have you learned anything?
Absolutely. I think fun is an understatement. I think it's been great to meet not only the other interns, but the entire staff at NRF. And to be quite honest, before interning here, I didn't really know much about the retail industry or trade associations, but now I've got nothing but love. So.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's been absolutely incredible. Like, I'm going through and I'm writing my thank you cards for the end of the summer, and I cannot fit enough good stuff on a 4x6 piece of paper. Like, I have to go through and just carefully curate all of it and be like, okay, these are the things that mattered the most, because it really has had an immeasurable impact on me, on like my career path, everything. I could not have asked for a better summer.
Miguel, has it changed your perception at all about what a career doing something in retail or in business or whatever it is that you want to do? Has this informed that at all?
Yeah, most definitely. It's been an experience.
How would you describe that experience?
Wisdom, like nothing but wisdom. I learned from everything. Honestly, it's been a lot, like in terms of being integrated into the workforce, because never have I had so much responsibility and like had other coworkers trust me with tasks. But it feels good to be a part of something that is a part of a team, I guess.
Now tell me, what area did you work in this summer? At NRF?
The marketing department, but in the creative services.
In the creative services within marketing. And is that something that you, professionally, is that kind of the direction that you're looking for the future? Or is
Absolutely. Without a doubt, I have a strong passion for things that are creative and really just making things, designing things. I'd say I'm good at it. And being at NRF made me realize that when you're good at something, stick to it and keep doing it. Yeah.
You know, it's interesting because you think about the retail industry, and this is one of the things I love about this industry, you know, creativity. You have an idea and it's something that you think about. It could be as you're drifting off to sleep or as you're waking up and you're walking to the train to take the commute, or you're on the train and you have this thought, maybe I wonder if this would work. And you come into work and you present and you build it up and then you see it kind of come to life. Yeah. That happens in retail every single day. And it's a lot of fun to be a part of that. And I think that seeing it actually have an impact or making a difference, given what your responsibilities are, is a big part of learning that experience. And we all do it every day. I mean, it doesn't matter if you're an intern or if you've been doing it for a long period of time. It's kind of fun. It keeps you going.
Yeah.
So if you were to go back to school, Juliana, and tell people, wow, I think retail is great because, what would that fill in the blank be?
I think retail is great because it's the only place where I can find peace, but I can also find my future. I can go shop and, you know, see everything that I love, feel beautiful, try new, you know, makeup, clothes, whatever I want. And then I can come into my internship and it's the most amazing experience to sit here and learn about, you know, CEOs and leaders whose brands I love.
I love that because one of the things is that, you know, people, they see retail and they just see it this far. Yeah. They don't open the doors
exactly
and see it the rest of the way. And if you were to go back and tell somebody, open the doors, what are they going to see?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And I think for me, it really opened my eyes to the ins and outs of retail and the many, many people and roles that it takes to keep the industry alive for me to shop and have fun. And yep. I think it was a really eye-opening look for me into, you know, the industries that build the pleasures in our life.
Yep. Ashton, what area did you work in?
I was in the government relations department.
Oh, GR.
Yes.
Now, people don't ever think of GR when they think about retail.
Absolutely not.
Why is GR important to retail?
I mean, GR is important to retail because it deals a lot with advocacy. And so when you deal with advocacy in all forms, you're advocating not just for one person or one industry, you're advocating for everyone. And the thing about retail is that it's kind of a touchstone for every person because it impacts your life. Retail impacts what you eat. It impacts what you wear. It impacts everything around you. You rely on it for just about everything in your daily life, whether or not you are consciously thinking about it, it is there in the background. And so when you're dealing with the government relations department in relation to retail, you know, everything that we do has a ripple effect. Like we come in, we're looking at supply chains, we're looking at labor shortages, we're looking at, you know, how does the workforce function? What is impacting the workforce? Like overtime changes, we're looking at this entire complex world that you most commonly associate with like Veep or Netflix shows where you're like, oh, this is so fun. Like, look how dramatic it is. Like, I'm never going to have to deal with that. And the reality of it is you don't have to deal with it directly because someone else is dealing with it for you.
Right. And again, this just goes back to the fact that it is an industry, and we mm-hmm. say it at the beginning of every episode, an industry that impacts everyone, everywhere, every day. I mean, everybody has a retail transaction, whether you go to the bodega and buy a newspaper, you go to Starbucks, mm-hmm. you buy a coffee, or whatever you do, that is a retail transaction.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't think that people really look beyond that transaction to understand everything that goes into it. And so, you know, being a proponent, as you have been this summer, for policies and for educational efforts and regulation that helps to spur more growth, more opportunity, more entrepreneurship. I mean, that's what people don't understand. And that's a very, very important mm-hmm. part of what we do as a trade association. And you have to do it, you know, Miguel, to your point, creatively. I mean, everybody can do it. I mean, you can just put out a piece of paper and say, look at the numbers. But you've got to do it in a way that attracts them, pulls them in, mm-hmm. and makes them want to be a part of that.
Yeah, I think that's a special part about retail that makes it very interesting. And like, as you were saying, it's a people-first industry. Like really, every transaction we have, everything we have in retail is kind of intimate with another person. It's like, say if I'm buying something for myself, it's intimate to me. If I'm making something for somebody and I sell it to them, it's intimate for them. I think that's a special part about it. And especially like when you get to the creative side, it's like, how can you make something that's special for someone to go out of their way and be like, I want this. I want to have it a part of my life and I want to incorporate it in some way. And through retail, I feel like you can do that in so many different ways.
Yeah. We just had an experience, Juliana, that was really unique. And it was our Retail Advocates Summit just a couple of weeks ago. The thing that I always tell people is what impressed me most about that was it was a collaboration across the organization mm-hmm.
yeah.
and certainly across the industry as well to get people there to make it an interesting experience for them. But the thing that just absolutely broke all kinds of records as it relates to our advocacy was one-fifth of the Congress, one-fifth of the elected representatives in Washington came.
Yeah.
Left the Capitol, got in cars, and came to where we were having the event.
Blew it out
to experience that. And I think it speaks to that fact that, you know, we do touch so many in so many different ways. You know, 52 million Americans rely on retail, a healthy retail industry, mm-hmm. For their jobs in order to put food on their table, in order to be contributing members to their communities. They rely on a healthy retail. So getting people there, I think was, you know, part of the battle in making sure that people understand it. And a lot of it, Julianne, I think you would agree, is education. We've got to educate these folks.
100%. And I mean, the Retail Advocate Summit was an out-of-body experience for me. It was an environment I've never been in before. I mean, I accidentally curtsied to a congressman. I was so starstruck because I was just so overwhelmed with excitement between the presence of Congress people themselves, but then also just countless retail leaders, and to see all of the innovations that they had. Miguel and I were playing with every single innovation during the cleanup. I mean, it was an amazing time. And for me, I think like, the word that just keeps resonating in my mind is community. And, you know, retail is an industry, but retail is a community. And something that you said when you were discussing that people overlook the, you know, the workers of retail. And I think about when, you know, when you walk into a store and you see someone mistreat an employee, it's simple things like that. It's just these little human connections that we've lost over the years with, you know, the pandemic and the climate of the world today. And I think that the Retail Advocate Summit was a really, really exciting moment for me to just feel peace. And just to see everyone come together and celebrate the work and, you know, the mission of NRF and of our retailers and of our industry and the change we're trying to make, but also highlighting how we're doing that. And I think like through proactive and productive education, advocacy, our foundation work, we're able to achieve that impact. But I think that RES allows that, you know, platform to really emphasize it and bring it all together to celebrate it on all levels, not just within the foundation or within GR, but bring the community together as one. So it was incredible.
Yeah. I could not have asked for a better experience with that. I mean, I was blown out of the water. Tears were shed at the end of it because that, I mean, that was our big...
That was your baby.
Yeah, that was our Super Bowl. And we got to the end and I was like, oh my God, we just pulled that off.
Yeah. The steak was incredible.
Yeah. It was really good. The dinner was really nice. I was very happy there. But I mean, just to hear people come through and talk about the experiences that they were having throughout the day, especially down at the end, because I was helping hand out all the awards to all of the members of Congress, all, the fifth that showed up, got to walk right by me, pick up their award and go.
What was the award?
So we gave out two different awards. There was the Heroes of Main Street and the Champions of Main Street. And it's essentially, we're giving it to these members of Congress who have their policies and the ones that they've supported and enacted are for the benefit of retail and retailers across the United States. And so, you know, like watching all of these people come by and not only just pick up their award and leave, but actually sitting down and talking to the retailers that we had over at the Main Street display, watching them interact with the innovations to see like, oh, this is where retail could go in the future. Like, this is what it has the potential to become and not just what it is. And to just see all the people who are willing to come in and be so, you know, open and honest and, you know, sharing their creativity, sharing like their love of the community, sharing, you know, this is our drive. This is how we want retail to grow and shape everything around us, because retail is kind of the driver of everything else. It's very humbling to see all of these people come together and lay out the roadmap for the future and to have everyone be like, oh my God, this is...
Yeah.
So much more.
Yeah, that just... You speaking about it kind of just brought me chills to when... what was the founder of It's NOLA? Margaret Mero.
Yeah.
But
her speech, just, her speech,
but also I think, and this was one thing I said to my mom when I came home from RES, but I think to the NRF allowed like us the opportunity to attend that event, but as a woman of color, to see that kind of representation for me was like, I was not expecting that. And it was incredible. It was real. I'm like getting teary eyed. Sorry, but it was an incredible moment for me, because this internship has been an eye-opening, you know, industry opportunity for me. But then to see someone that looks like me with my same passions of, you know, bringing back to my community through your business, it was great to see that. And I'm getting
you're gonna make me cry. Please don't.
I'm sorry, guys. I'm just stop.
Miguel, don't fly. What did you think? Any key takeaways?
My key takeaway is I really had a great experience with the interviewees. I had an opportunity to interview some of the business owners and CEOs and founders of certain companies. And one thing that really stuck out to me was the idea that these people are not in it just for the money. And it's more deeper than that. And like Juliana said, it's literally about the community. And these people put their customers first before everything. And it's all about the experience. And everything is really catered to the people that they take care for and look out for them as well. And I really appreciate that. Like, there's this idea in like retail that when people, like founders, get a lot of money, they kind of just forget about the small customers and all of the small people that have helped them along the way. But you could really tell that these people are really catering towards the people that cater towards them. And it's like a give and take relationship. Mm-hmm. And honestly, it was really refreshing to see that, because it reminded me that these are genuinely people at the end of the day, and they really took the time and the care to build out something that works for them and something that works out for the community as well. And shout out, I think his name was Lonnie McWhirter from Refill Station. I was talking to him. He was the last interviewee. And I was just asking him questions about like fuel stations and the economy and stuff like that. Because I mean, right person to ask, these gas prices are ridiculous. Like, why not? And I mean, somebody like him who's in a position, a really hard position to where it looks like he's gouging prices for some absurd reason. It just was really refreshing to know that like he's still doing things on his behalf to benefit his community and still look out for the people that help him along the way and all the people in his circle. Whether it be just lowering prices or making sure that the customer experience is top tier, or I mean, however many ways he does it, it's still like really refreshing to know that that's the first thing that comes to mind instead of just purely getting money and purely making the most maximum amount of profits.
It's not always about the bottom line.
Yeah.
So it's one of the things that I really enjoy. The one thing that you always hear from everybody, doesn't matter if they're the CEO, the founder, a senior director or a manager, talking about their industry, their jobs, the brand and the people that they work with, the thing that you always hear is passion. Yeah. They love what they do. They love who they do it for. They are committed to it. They're committed to the customer. They're committed to the community. And they're committed to the people that they work with. And it doesn't matter what level. And I promise you that you've seen it and you've experienced it. And it doesn't matter what opportunity you have, where it is, you'll see it and hear it again and again and again. It is a constant, consistent thread among all of these retail leaders. And so, you know, you think about retail jobs. Okay, so the three of you have had a unique opportunity, Miguel, Ashton, and Juliana, to experience this level of understanding about the retail industry, particularly retail jobs. And you may want to ultimately make that your career, right? In retail. And somebody comes to you and you say, oh, I want to work in retail. And they look at you like, that's weird. How do you respond? Why do you want to work in this industry? Not necessarily just because you're good at what you do, but why this industry when you look at so many others? Miguel, you start.
Simply put, it's an opportunity for everybody. Mm-hmm. It's as simple as that. And as long as you have passion and you're putting what you care about forward, you'll flourish. Like, you literally will flourish.
Ashton?
Kind of to go off of what Miguel said, I totally agree with your answer. But I think that when we're having that conversation, you have to address, there's a respect gap between what people perceive of the retail industry and between what it actually is, where people look at it and for some reason, even though it's such an integral part of their daily lives, they look down on it and they perceive the people who work in it as not deserving of the same level of respect as like the people who are working in the corporate office. And I think what you have to explain to them is, you know, the job, it's still very complex. Like, you're dealing with people, you're dealing with monetary resources, you're dealing with itemizing things. It's a very hands-on, and whether or not people want to admit it, it requires a lot of not only communication skills, but also just general like academic prowess in a certain way, because you have to be able to handle all of the things that are flying around you in an environment that is never going to be as consistent as you want it. Like, in an office, you can pretty much sit down and say, here's what's going to happen today. You never know what you're going to get in a store.
Isn't that the truth?
So that's kind of...
You got to be kind of flexible.
Yeah.
Too.
You have to think on your feet. You have to be able to respond and react.
Yeah.
Juliana.
I mean, I think that if there's one thing I've learned at the end of the summer, I think the beauty of the retail industry is that it's for everybody. And I think that exactly as you put it, Ashton, I think that in today's society, we have this idea that success has one path, and it's that you go to a prestigious university and you get a nice internship and you get in that door and you work your way up to the top and then you're CEO.
Yeah.
And that is the only way to do it. And I think that now with our generation, we're seeing a lot of, I think a lot of people saying that it's okay to not take that path.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I love that. And I think the retail industry is a prime example of finding success in careers and growing in many ways and expanding your interests and growing into other industries from within retail. And I think that it's a really, really beautiful opportunity to open your eyes to the workforce. I think if there's an industry to get going in, retail is perfect for you.
You know, one way I've always kind of thought about it is it's kind of like an elevator to success. Like there's not enough room for everybody on that path. And so there are stairs, but people don't want to take the stairs because it requires more work.
Mm. Or maybe they just don't know where the entrance to the stairs are.
Yeah. Exactly.
Sometimes you could take the escalator.
Yeah.
I'll float.
Yeah. Nice middle ground.
I have somebody that I used to work with. She used to say that there are people that ride the escalator and people that walk the escalator. And she said that there is a very real difference between those two mentalities.
Yeah.
So you've had this experience. You've seen what corporate life is like, not just here, but you've seen looking at the industry that we represent, the retailers that are a part of what we do on a daily basis. And you're going to go out someday and you're going to look for a job. What do you want that employer to provide you as someone that wants to have a career with that brand?
First and foremost, I want to feel that respect goes both ways. Just as much as I want to respect my employer, I also want to be respected and valued by them. Company mission and values are very, very important to me. Not only at a company that I work at, but at any company I'm going to interact with. And absolutely their presence in the world. What is their impact? What are they doing to maintain a positive social impact? How are they using their platform? How are they combining business and ethics? And does it align with my own personal mission and values? And if it doesn't, then perhaps it's not the best environment for me, but that's usually the guidelines I go to. Very 22.
Yeah. Miguel?
Honestly, along the same lines, I put ethics and morals first. I applied to many internships over the summer. And I was really looking for like certain companies I wouldn't want to morally work for or work under, just for my moral compass. I just couldn't do it for me. Mm-hmm. And also I really look for a company that will embrace me and welcome me and give me a reason to come to work every day. Because especially if I'm going to be building a commitment and coming to work every day and giving myself a reason to get out of my bed every day, I don't want to be in an environment that is draining. I don't want to be in an environment that doesn't make me feel welcome. I really want to feel like my identity is respected, who I am is understood, and I don't need to like fully be engulfed in the community at work, because at the end of the day, it's still a job, it's still a career. But give me something that I can work around and that I can maneuver around. I feel like I flourish better in places where I can connect with my coworkers and where I'm understood and given room to at least be myself and be comfortable. So that's really a big thing for me.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Last word.
Last word. That's a lot of pressure. When I go to work, I want to be excited about not only what I'm working on, but who I'm working for. And, you know, I think a lot of that rests on what Juliana and Miguel have said. It's about values. It's about the ethics. It's about respect, both like from the employers and the higher ups and the people that I work with and just kind of the entire thing. Like in aggregate, I mean, being excited to go in and do the work and work for the people and work with the people that are around me, I think a lot of it rests. It's on values. It's on ethics. It's understanding, flexibility. It's the character of the organization. And like here, I mean, you all have built a company, a character, everything that you can be proud of. And I think that that is something that I really look for. Like I can go home to my parents and be like, hey, remember all the nightmare internship stories that we've heard from everyone else? I don't have that kind of experience. Like I can come back and say, you know, every day I felt appreciated. I didn't feel like I was being used for manual labor downstairs in the basement every other day. They didn't ignore me. They didn't just give me the work they didn't want to do. They trusted me. And I think that that means a lot. It's being treated with respect, being treated as an intelligent person, and being treated as though you were competent and capable. And that they know you are going to grow with what they are giving you. And I think that that's really important to me.
Trust and respect. And I think that those are two very important points. But at the end of the day, one of the things we always talk about, and you're going to be hearing a lot about it throughout your entire professional lives, and that's culture. Mm-hmm. A company that has a really good, solid culture that will help you to not only survive, but thrive. Mm-hmm. And really put you to bed at night excited about getting up the next morning and doing it all over again.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So let's think about the next interns that come through the doors here at 1101 New York Avenue. What would your piece of advice be to them in order to ensure that they get the greatest experience that you've had as an intern at the NRF? And we'll start with you, Ashton.
I have a lot of advice. I think one thing definitely is be open to the opportunities for relationship building that you're going to have. Like, get to know your other interns. You will learn more from them than you will from sitting at your desk during lunch or like just saying hi to them on the first day and like never interacting with them again. Because something I'm so grateful for here is that I'm leaving with 10 new friends.
Yeah.
And I know. And I've gotten to learn about everything that they do in conjunction with what I do. And it's given me a deeper understanding for government relations in relation to everything else. And that extends beyond the intern class. Get to know the people that you're working with. And I think that can be said for everywhere. Like, you need to be able to talk to the people you work with, because once again, you learn from them and they help you grow. It gives you an opportunity to have someone invest in you, to teach you, to inspire you, change you, challenge you. And I think that's the whole point of an internship, is to leave in a different place than you showed up in.
Totally. Very well put.
I know.
It is very well put.
I absolutely left here in a different place than I showed up, and a much better one at that. I am very, very happy. My advice for the next NRF intern would be to take advantage of every opportunity that is presented to you or that presents itself, and or find a way to create opportunities for yourself. I think that if you're interning here, you'll have a fantastic experience. Mm-hmm. If you fully immerse yourself and you are present and you work hard. But I also think that for anyone interning anywhere, career advice would be to be having, like, believe in yourself. Don't have imposter syndrome, because I literally still have that to this day as an intern, which is ridiculous. And give yourself grace.
Awesome. Mm. Miguel, you get the final word.
Literally stole the words out of my mouth, to be honest with you. But honestly, the best way I could say, like, don't be shy. Ask questions. Mm-hmm. Like, this internship is literally for you. And like, as Juliana said, you're going to come into this internship and leave as a completely different person in a completely different place. And make sure you're not at the same place where you started at. Like, you don't want to leave with nothing. So leave with something and take as much as you can. And take advantage of the opportunities. Because, dear Lord, there's so many opportunities here.
It's like drinking
and snacks.
Drinking from a fire hose.
Lots of snacks.
I love the Coca-Cola.
The
Coca-Colas.
I miss the coffee machine so much.
That is a great coffee machine. That's kind of new.
Like,
so.
I actually don't wanna take it with me. Yeah. Like, you all might come back from your break in August and there's not going to be a very large hole.
I actually just realized that I'm going to have separation anxiety from the coffee
machine. I know. I get separation anxiety on the office.
Here's the good news. You can always come back.
Yeah.
I mean, you can always come back. You know, I can't thank you all enough, not only just for the time that you took here for Retail Gets Real, but for what you did this summer, for the work that you've undertaken, for the attitude with which you've undertaken it, for the success that we have had as a result of it. And so thank you for that. We're all going to be watching you very, very closely. And we're very, very optimistic, thanks to you all, about the future, not just of retail, but in this country and in business and in general. So thank you for everything that you've done. Miguel, good luck.
Thank you.
In every endeavor. I think maybe podcasts are in your future.
I think so, too.
I think you were born for it, Miguel.
I did, too. Juliana, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And trust me, that you're going to have these experiences where you go into these stores and you're going to view them in an entirely different way. It's funny, when I was working in retail, I'd walk into stores and I'd just start conversations with the manager, which really frustrated the people I was in there with, and be like, just shop and shut up.
That's kind of
fun. It's kind of fun. Ashton, I'm sure that you will look at the sausage making process known as government in an entirely different light, but it's a good one to know and to understand at this point in your career. So many people don't really understand it. They get into it and they're just lost as a result of it. Because of your experience, mm-hmm. you go in with something that most people don't have, and that is a knowledge that you'll be able to use to succeed in your career as well.
Absolutely. I've got a bird's eye view coming out of here.
Excellent. Thanks again, and thank you all for listening to another episode of Retail Gets Real. You can find more information about this episode at retailgetsreal.com. I'm Bill Thorne. This is Retail Gets Real, and thanks again for listening. Take care.